Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom Raff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, and also of Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Please, composed with love by my nephew, Miles Debastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you today?
Hi, Cindy. How are you?
I hear you've been having some big talks with people and, saying the facts, just the facts, huh? You're not getting emotional over these things?
No, I can't really get emotional. As much as I would like to get emotional, I can't, because there's not a lot to be emotional about. It's almost like making a business decision, where you got to kind of weigh out pros and cons, and you could just kind of have to accept the situation. Otherwise, it's going to be a bunch of knee-jerk reactions and reactions that are based on emotion instead of actual thought and feeling. So I've been saying the important stuff, and I've been putting up, sticking up for myself and sticking up for the things that I want and the things that I desire, and hopefully I'll get some favorable results out of it.
Well, good. I'm proud of you because, we talk about in the book, why good people can't leave bad relationships. It's the pink elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about, that they actually have to talk about and stop dancing around it. And it's never easy. It's never easy. Most people sweep it under the carpet or next week, next year, next month. But, the longer we live, we realize that time goes by and that the time is now and the discussions have to be taking place. Sometimes we don't do it because we don't want to hear answers we may not want to hear. But it's learning.
What it was, Cindy? In my case, it wasn't even that I was afraid of the answer I was going to hear. In my case, I actually came to a little bit of a dawning or a little bit of a realization that there was more to it than that. And, the bottom line for me, at least, was that when I had to have this conversation, I was more coming from a place where I was like, all right, I'm allowing myself to be a doormat. And I can't allow myself to be a doormat. And this is, I recognized a pattern that I had, followed in previous relationships. And I think if I would have had, the conversations that I've had any earlier, I would not have picked up on that pattern, So I kind of waited and I kind of waited out and I did it. And then all of a sudden, when I was finally ready to put it forward, I was like, holy crap. I've done all of this before. And that's what I have to, that's what I got to say is that, I've been here, done that, and I'm not about to do it again.
Speaking up, saying what we need to say, it's not always easy. Sometimes people aren't going to like it. They're not going to, hear it right. But, I'm, pulling some cards on you, and doesn't look out of the question of it going your way. So, It doesn't look like it's out of your question which way, it looks like it's still, I'm seeing that the person may come round, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, what? When I did it, I knew what the consequences were. And I knew that there was a possibility that things did not go in my favor. And like I said, that's why I'm kind of not getting emotional about it, because I already prepped myself for that. But on the flip side to that, even though I prepared myself for that, like I said, it was more or less me recognizing the pattern. And the one thing that I want to tell everybody out there, whenever it comes to the point of where there's that pink elephant in the room and everything, is this. If you already think in your heart that you have the answer, and you are delaying the inevitable because you don't think you want to hear the answer, if you delay it, A, you're wasting more of your own time, you're wasting more of your own energy, it's causing you to worry about what if more than it should, and either way, that answer, whether you ask it today, whether you asked it yesterday, or whether you asked in 2 or 3 weeks, that answer, if it is what it is not going to change. Delay the inevitable, face what the facts are, and deal with the facts at hand. And after you have a conversation, you know, or after you own up to certain things, if you can possibly talk it out or change the person's mind or come to an understanding or move on or whatever the case may be, at least you did it positively, at least you did it constructively, and at least you were proactive by putting it out there without wasting everybody's time and having gross resentments and what have you, you know, because the longer you keep things like that inside, you're going to resent people. It's going to annoy you to the point of where you start to get angry, and then you're going to start to take that anger out on somebody else who has no idea that you have this burning question to ask.
Right, and it's also that once we wait too long, it becomes a lunatic talking instead of a rational person. So,
exactly.
You know, we don't want to stuff it down until we get to that breaking point. So I'm glad you had the pink elephant in the room discussion. Now, we have a lot of callers, and they're clicking on by the
Oh, second. My God, I was so surprised.
I mean, me too. I can't even see beyond the bottom of this here, but I can see that TJ's on, and then there's a 837, Carol, who's been trying to get on for like 2 weeks now, so I promised her we would take her on today.
Is it a 330?
Mm-hmm. You see all the way.
Okay,
see,
so that's Carol?
Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to pick up TJ
You pick
for
up TJ, and I'm going to talk to Carol, and then
okay,
I'm going to put her on
and
the
you
show.
Get, and you get her story, okay?
You got it.
Okay, perfect. Hello, TJ, you're on the air.
Hi, dear.
Hello, so your sailing was beautiful today?
Yes, we finally got out. It was wonderful, and I know people are waiting. I love you. I'll see you soon. I got your email, so I know everything that's going on. And I don't know if you mentioned about your little talk the other day where you sold 51 of your books.
No,
and
I didn't mention it, but it was quite a successful night, and
and
I was glad about that. And anyway, I will talk to you later because we're a little bit overwhelmed.
Yeah, I love you.
With,
you know, I love you. And
I love
see you a little bit.
Okay.
And I can't wait to get home. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Now, I know Carol is one we've spoken to in the past, and she's a very interesting, you know, she's been listening to us, and I think she's trying to live the Grant Me a Higher Love philosophy and really wants that higher love. And, you know, the lecture that one of the lectures that TJ was talking about, and I've been doing a lot lately, are about that, you know, we want a higher love, but we have to heal our issues before we can, you know, have a higher love. And anyway, we have Carol from Ohio. So I don't know if Nicole's back on. She wants to kind of, you know, she sums something up here. She needs financial guidance and something about her ex. So anyway, I'm going to try to pick up Carol. Nicole, are you there? Okay, let me just get Carol. Hi, Carol. You're live and on the air.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
Finally.
Right. I can see that. You know, you need some financial guidance. You're a little bit in a rut, and
I'm more of a rut. I think I've fallen in.
Well, it's funny because, you know, you ended a relationship and you had a hard time with that. So you get, after that, there's a little bit of depression that sets in. And then depression becomes something that keeps us a little bit stuck in our rut. So it's
right. Well,
almost
see,
like.
I deal with depression anyway, so it's a double whammy.
Okay, so the best cure for depression after a while is to just get out and do something, even though you don't feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get yourself dressed, go out there and, you know, challenge yourself to do something different and new. I see something about the ex. You're not trying to reconcile with him, are you?
50-50.
Okay, are you just going to try to get back with him because you're depressed and maybe you think he can pull you out of your rut?
No, because I still love him.
Okay, and what makes you think this time around it will be different?
That's only if he's willing to make a commitment.
Okay, and have you discussed that before you get involved with him again?
Yeah, he pretty much knows what I want.
Okay, and pretty much isn't good enough. It has to be, you know, stated, yes, I'll be willing to consider this relationship again, but, you know, only if there's 2 feet into it. If you're not going to put 2 feet into it, then I need to take my 2 feet out and no more conversations. Because it looks like you're still talking with him, so he doesn't really have to reconcile with you. He could keep it this way.
I actually haven't talked to him in a couple of months. I texted him last Thursday because it was his birthday, and I wanted so much to, like, really call him and send him a card, but I didn't. And I never got a response. So.
Okay, so how are you going to reconcile with a man who doesn't respond to you?
Well, I can't until he's...
And since he knows that you say it's commitment or nothing, he's just giving you the message. I'm not committing to you. I'm not even going to answer you. You have to see he's the new master over women that determines how close you can get, how close you can't. And I don't want commitment. You could play by my rules, but I'm not even going to respond to you. I think the possibility of reconciling with him looks really poor here.
Okay.
So I think it's out of your control now. He knows what you feel, and you've sent him something, and he hasn't responded. Why are you not hearing the message in that?
I just thought he'd need more time.
More time to what?
Well,
he already knows that you still care about him because you text him, so that could put his communication to you another 3 months down the line. So it's one of the things... You have to make it clear in your mind that you're ready to move on. A man who doesn't want to talk to you, who doesn't want to commit, who's pulling the, I'm not going to talk to you now because you asked me to do something I don't want to do. I don't see one bit of change in these cards. I don't see him having changed one bit.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's accepting. I mean, you did put the olive branch out there, which was perfect. It was a perfect thing. It was his birthday. The olive branch was given. But the silence should have told you, he's not happy with commit to me. And why is the reason he can't commit to you, by the way, that he says?
That, because he's been divorced twice, and he said it wouldn't work out.
Okay, so what are you not hearing when he says that?
Well, I guess I keep hoping he changes his mind.
And again, you know, he hoping and, you know, wishing doesn't change our life. Action changes our life. And love is an action word. It's not a feeling. It's an action. So when a person loves us, they take actions to demonstrate that. They're with us. They commit to us. They help us. We help them. I mean, this is a pretty one-sided relationship, and what you're really in is the mourning stages, but it's almost like you haven't pulled the plug yet, like he's like sort of on life support here. And you know, you're the one who's going to have to realize you deserve more. But if you're in a rut, that's just keeping you stuck. So, you know, at this point, we're going to ask you to, like our little slogan on the show is make life happen. What can you do that can make your life begin to change in a positive way? Is, you know, you're worried about your finances, so are you doing anything to make that change?
Right now, I'm just filing for disability, and I'm waiting on a settlement.
Right, and what I see here is that the justice card came. You should get your settlement on that. So I'm not, you know, that'll come. And in the meantime, you know, you're sort of waiting for life. You know, life is today. So is there some ways you could, you know, maybe do something that gets you out and about with people? And gets you, you know, near...
Yeah, I mean, I do go out once or twice a week with my girlfriend.
Good.
And Saturday is the big, big high school football game, and her son's playing. I'm going to that.
Good.
So, you know, I mean, I have been getting out.
Good.
Now, for the justice card, is that for my settlement or for the disability?
That looks more for actually the settlement. The disability looks a little bit delayed here, but the settlement looks like it's going to come through. And then I got the other card that you'll get your disability too. So the things look good that way. And again, just figure out where you want to be in the next 6 months to a year. You know, get yourself out of that rut. Get yourself out there and meeting people. Don't wait around for him because, you know, this guy looks like he'll keep you waiting for 2 years. Do you want to wait another 2 to 5 years here?
No, it's already been 5.
Right. And relationships work in 5-year cycles. At the closing of the 5-year cycle, God's asking you to move on. I'm seeing much better things, for you in terms of money, and love will, you know, manifest when you get yourself out there. And, you know, part of our life lessons is we can't change people and we have to hear what they say. He says he doesn't want it, he doesn't want it. You're not going to change his mind on that. And I hope you would want a man who would want to jump through hoops that you want to be with him.
Yeah.
And that he wants to be with you, don't you think?
Yeah.
You want a man that says, hey, Carol wants to be with me, hooray. Not one who, kind of says, well, I'm not sure I want this. And believe me, he's not contacting you because he's not sitting home waiting for you. So, you know, you might want to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting himself moving. He's not, you know, he's just distracting. He's keeping busy. I'm not saying he's got a soulmate. He's not going to get another soulmate. But, you know, he's just as busy keeping himself busy. So,
okay. All right, well, my family has kind of been estranged. Do you see us getting close again?
Again, you're kind of, you know, wanting people to change who don't change. So, you know, you could accept your family the way they are and kind of extend the olive branch, but these people aren't going to change significantly. You can change how you respond to them.
Okay.
But I'm not seeing even major change. You know, your family, you know, how long have you not been talking to your family?
Well, I've been talking, but it's been distant, and it's been about a year.
Okay.
We had a major, major, major disagreement, and since then, it's been distant.
Right, and again, you can both, you know, everybody can agree to disagree on this, but it doesn't look like the kind of, it doesn't look like your family's all that forgiving or all that forgetting.
Okay.
So, you know, okay. It's time. What I'm seeing mainly is you getting out there and getting a life and,
okay.
You know, and you deserve better, don't you think?
I think so. I mean, I've made mistakes, but I don't think I'm a bad person.
Right, who hasn't made mistakes?
You know.
And who hasn't made mistakes. But anyway, we're going to try to take another caller and call in and let us know when your disability comes in because we're very curious.
All right. Thank
you. Good luck to
you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you.
Bye. Okay, Nicole, you've been doing a lot of screening.
Oh, yes, I have been.
Okay, so what do we have here?
All right. Well, right now, we are going to speak to Eleanor. And Eleanor actually spoke to you before. She had some surgery where, you know, it was a question whether or not there was any kind of malignancy there. Luckily, it was benign. So congratulations to Eleanor on that. But she wants to know kind of what you see now for her. You know, now that she's finally got this clearance that she's been looking for, there's a little bit of a weight has been lifted. You know, she did have some other things going on in the meantime. But she wants to know how has her future changed now that she's embraced, this whole new health of hers.
Great. Hello, Eleanor. You're on the air.
Hi. Good evening, Cindy.
Okay. I'm glad we didn't really think it was malignant. I'm glad it's benign, but it is a way of letting you know that you're not getting angry and you're growing tumors. So you may want to deal with your anger. Are you dealing with the right that some of your life has been hard and you have a right to be angry? Have you been dealing with that at all?
Oh, yeah, I've been addressing it, just been praying to let go of anger. I've been feeling it lifting a little bit and trying to work around resolutions with
good.
The anger. Unfortunately, the hardest part is forgiving my ex-boyfriend for hurting me. I'm really trying to incorporate that into prayer but it's very hard to let go of that anger of what he did to me.
Right, and it's something that you can forgive the person, but not his actions, because his actions are not forgivable. You know,
right.
You can understand as a person he's flawed. Are you forgiving yourself for not seeing the writing on the wall soon enough? Because I think mostly you're letting go even anger at him, but you're a little mad at yourself for allowing him to do what he's done way too long. So forgiving yourself. Your health looks much better. I'm not even seeing him totally out of the picture. Are you still talking with him, or does he still try to contact you?
He hasn't contacted me in over 2 months, and this is the longest stretch we've gone not talking. I'm really, really, really trying to cut those. I have not contacted him in any way.
Good, and don't, because I'm not saying he won't contact you in about a month, because usually the princes that become the beast after they've hurt us, you know, lay low for about 3 months and, you know, catch us in a moment of weakness and then hook us in again. I want you to be aware of the fact that he has not changed. It's the same thing with Carol. I mean, every phone call is almost related. You can almost hear messages in me telling Carol, like, what are you not hearing from these people? Silence says a lot. Silence speaks volumes about people. And if they're not speaking to us, it's telling us that they're not healed, or they don't, you know, they're too busy to bother with us, and they, or, you know, we bother them too much and they don't want to heal. So keep in mind that he can resurface. You know, maybe around Christmas or Thanksgiving, he'll, you know, try to, you know, text you or give you, you know, a call. But he has not changed. So I hope you've come to the realization that he is who he is.
But I'm kind of hoping that he doesn't contact me, but you're seeing that he is.
Yeah, I know, because it's almost like you've just withdrawn from heroin and he's coming back with some, you know, more heroin for you. And know that I'm not saying he won't. He's looking like he wants to contact you now. Your spirit guides can pop a thought in his head. Leave her alone. Don't bother her if you can't step up to the plate. And if he hears it and if he loves you enough, he'll stay away.
Why would he be wanting to contact me if he hasn't changed?
Because he wants to go back to the way it was. You know, him calling all the shots and, you know, he was happy with the way things were. And, you know, he thinks it's your problem. He thinks you were the one wrong. He doesn't think he was wrong here.
Really?
So when he contacts you, it's him kind of being, you know, I've forgiven you. So, you know, he's got a little bit distorted vision of the situation.
So he hasn't moved on?
No, he hasn't. No. But he just thinks you're in the wrong. So nothing has changed in his life situation, so that means nothing can change in your life situation with him. So it's better to realize it's time to move on. But in the future, there's a really nice guy here. And, you know, you're feeling better. Sometimes our health issues, people would rather be sick than face mental pain and psychological pain. So I'm asking you not to distract from the pain. You know, feel it. It hurts. And let yourself feel the pain and mourn for the end of the relationship. You have to trust your gut a little more with people. Are you starting to do that now?
Yeah, I really, have asked myself, what have I learned from this situation about myself, about him, about others? I'm doing a lot of exploration. And, I did date a couple of men after the end of this relationship, but nothing has come to fruition. It's just like 2 dates and that's it. I don't know.
You know, of course, it's hard to, you know, find a soulmate. It's not that easy, but are you learning this place of self-love? And any of our listeners out there, women have to overcome the belief that any man is better than no man. They have to stand on their own 2 feet. They have to have like a little bit of love affair, you know, with themselves, which means take good care of yourself. Work out, eat well, try to look the best that you can, and, you know, be content where you are. And
I was tested. I was really tested. After this surgery where I wasn't supposed to bend and lift, I had a flood in my house. And then I had a flood in, I had like 4 different floods in the past 2 weeks right after the surgery where I wasn't supposed to bend and lift. And I said to myself, my God, there has to be a meaning to all this water. And you know what? The other day an epiphany came to me, and I said, you know what? I think God is trying to tell me you can deal with anything, and you could deal with it yourself if you had to. And that's
exactly
what I learned.
Can you see that? In other words, normally women panic. They have to take care of this. They want any, you know, a man can come take care of it. We have to learn that we are better off hiring a handyman sometimes than we are to keep a man around who's not good. We're better to figure out, Google information, find out how to do it. But we can take care of ourselves.
I learned that. That was a lesson I had to learn.
And now God is going to, like, stop with the plagues and the locusts and the floods on you, okay?
I hope so.
And
getting really angry and frustrated about why this was happening to me.
And again, it's happening to prove that no matter what, we have the resources to take care of ourselves, and that you handled it on your own. You're stronger for it. Your spiritual life looks like it's going to take a really nice quantum leap forward, which means, you know, I don't want you to put the blinders back on. What happens sometimes with older souls, they want to see the good in people, and it's very painful for them to see people for who they are. And after a few months, you might want to put those blinders back on and think, okay, it was one bad person, my ex, and now I'm going to good. And it's not true. Most people are not that great. So don't put the blinders back on. Leave them off. Trust your gut. Whenever I forget this, because my life's pretty cushy, someone hacks into my email and screws up my next 2 days with, you know, changing every password and everything. It's the universe's way of reminding me, don't put blinders back on. So, you know, get there, you know, get out in the world and try to start finding someone. Are you thinking of getting out there soon?
Yeah, I've been getting out, and actually I'm going to an event tonight, as a matter of fact. But my question was this: would it be unreasonable to say that I want to find somebody who makes me feel like a teenager in love? Because that's how I felt with my ex-boyfriend. I don't want to just be with anybody.
No, of course, you want to be with a soulmate. So what you're going to do is pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. And you want to be a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit back. If it's, you know, your ex, well, so be it. But if it's someone else, let that be too. I mean, you know what a soulmate feels like, so bless him. You can't just settle for, you know, a man to fit a plan. It has to be someone that, you know, is really a soulmate. So bless that you know that. And that's a good thing. We have more than one soulmate. You know, and soulmates do help us feel young and do help us, because our soul is immortal and our heart is a perennial child, and soulmate love brings that. So, yes, it's not wrong to do that. But try to have fun and make yourself feel like a teenager without a man. Go out and do something that's fun.
Do you see anybody coming soon? Because I've been dating. I dated 3 different men so far.
And again, God is asking people, have patience. You know, we can bring a narcissistic rung on the ladder of love. Any man that's interchangeable another, I could take you to the bar down the block and find 8 of those in about an hour. But
right.
If you want a soulmate, because we've wasted, sometimes we spent too much time with our ex, and that our soulmate might already have been here had we not dawdled an extra year or two hanging around with these people. So our dawdling and dragging our feet alters a lot of things. And now when people make change, they say, okay, God, now I'm ready. And God's like, excuse me, have some patience. A soulmate takes some time to being brought into alignment. We usually meet a soulmate when we start feeling pretty happy the way things are, and that we're really happy with our life. I'm not telling you I want you to want to be alone. I don't want you to be one of those women, I'm so happy I'm alone, I don't want a man. That's worse. I'm glad that you want someone. But again, we have to trust in God's timing, and, you know, that it's on our way and that it'll be here. And that life isn't about waiting till someone comes or waiting for this or waiting for that. We're living while we're waiting. And, you know, it's one of those things. Try to have a life while you're waiting that makes you happy.
Right.
And sometimes just falling in love with life and learning something new that you love. I mean, love comes in many forms. It's friends. It's being passionate about something. So try to bring your passion almost to everything that you do, and, you know, be that emissary of love. It will come. And, you know, just be a little patient. Don't get disappointed. You know, it didn't come today. But there's nothing bad in your cards. It's just a matter of time. The worst thing I'm seeing is your ex resurfacing. That's like the big red flag here.
Okay.
So I just, if you're so desperate for a man or feeling that way, he'll get you at a moment of weakness. And the, and soulmates are very telepathic, so he'll sense your moment of weakness. So just know that, you know, be strong, love will come. Again, you know, growing tumors, it's a pretty good sign that we are not dealing with anger. And you've now learned, you know, to love yourself a little more, walk away. Nothing's bad in your cards. Just don't, you know, just when you're going, are you online dating? Is that what you're doing now?
I'm online dating, and I'm actually doing a speed date tonight.
And what's that?
Where you just, somebody every 6 minutes, you know, different
people
come.
Okay, now, those things disturb me immensely, as does the site that's called Just for Lunch. Anybody who wants to go Just for Lunch, that's all you're going to get from this person. You're not going to get dinner. You're not going to get commitment. 6 minutes are pretty narcissistic. It's pretty like a cattle call, and I think it's very degrading. So, you know, Nicole might be better on this. She was the assistant director on a film about speed dating. But, you know.
Yes, I was.
you know, do you have anything to say about speed dating?
What do you think, Nicole?
Well, okay, well, here's the thing that's good about it. There are some good things about speed dating, and there are some bad things about speed dating, okay?
Good. He's the expert.
If you want to go for fun and not have a lot of great expectations, like, you know, then it's okay. You know, but here's the thing that's good about it. All right, I'm going to be honest with you. What's great about speed dating is that a lot of times people fluff up conversation. When they meet somebody, there's a lot of fluff going on, and it's very, very hard to decipher what's fluff and what's substance, especially when you're dealing with a new person. When you go speed dating, in order to find out if you actually have any sort of remote interest in the person, you know, as much as interest as you can get in that amount of time, you have no choice but to cut through the fluff and to get more into the point. Now, that's good, because when you go on dates in real life, you will now have that skill of getting to the point, cutting out all the fluff conversation, counting out all of the unsubstantial things, and getting to the core of really what you're looking for, why you're looking for it, and putting it out there that you're ready, willing, and able to commence something with the right person. You know, I'm not necessarily saying be creepy about it on the first date. Be like, oh, yeah, I'm looking for a long-term relationship, and I want to be together forever, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. And no, don't do that, because that's creepy, and people get scared by that. But it's okay to say, hey, listen, you know what? I'm back into the dating world. Eventually, I would like to find that person that just makes me feel this or that. And, you know, I'm kind of trying people on to see who fits best, you know. And there's nothing wrong with that, and that's fine. So have fun with the speed dating. You know, see different kinds of people. See the kind of people that are really out there, and kind of refine your conversational skills there. And if there is somebody that you have a remote interest in where you think that you might want to go out, you know, again with, and you know what, keep an open mind to it. Don't expect it, because you'll be disappointed, but keep an open mind, because you never know. And then when you go on a date, you know, that maybe does have a little bit more substance than just that little 5-minute rule, you know, take some of what you learned through that experience and use it in your next experience.
Exactly. Right. And again, keep in mind that a lot of men that are going on there are just looking for sex, and they're not looking for relationships. And, you know, have fun with it, like she's saying. You know, you can't make this stuff up. You'll probably, if nothing else, get a good laugh for a day and a half.
People come away with some fantastic stories, too. Like, I mean, there are actually people out there that, you know, that just for fun, they go speed dating, and they make up the most outrageous stories just to see the reaction of the other person, you know? But then again, there are also people out there that are like, you know what? I want to see what I could accomplish in this amount of time, you know? And sometimes the conquest is sex, and sometimes the conquest might be more true to what you're looking for, which is just that excitable, fun, you know, dating atmosphere. You know, some people, like I said, they don't have the best intentions. And when you're only spending a couple of minutes with a person, it's very difficult to decide who's genuine and who's not. So go into it with no expectation. Go into it with the mindset that you are going to have fun. Go into it with the mindset, you know, that anything could happen. But really, the only thing that's going to that you're expecting to happen is to have a smile on your face by the end of the night. And embrace something if it comes along. And if it doesn't come along, like I said, you're going to gain some skills there. You're going to probably learn a few things about communication and take those with you in your next, you know, in your next adventure with somebody else.
Right. And just know that we don't need corporate America to introduce us to people. You know, I don't understand why people can't say, why don't we just meet on a Friday, you know, with some of your work friends, or ask a friend of yours, you know, any other friends to bring people. And why can't y'all just kind of meet people through each other? I mean, it's very possible to, you know, to do that, to organize something where you're bringing your single friends and they're bringing their single friends. And whether it's meeting another woman as a friend, maybe you need some new friends, and through those friends you could meet. You know, people have to start expanding their friendship worlds. So, you know, especially if you're single and most of your friends are married, it's, you know, it's time to make some new single friends, go to a yoga class, do something that you like. You know, you just try to make some new friends. Are you working on that too?
Yeah. It's hard at work because I do work in a corporate environment and everybody's married and professional. So there's really no get-togethers after work. So it's very hard.
Again, and then if you have some single friends or some friends, just ask if, why don't we, you know, all go meet on a Friday in a place and just get yourself, you know, expanding your friendships, making some of it happen yourself, and, you know, have fun with what you're doing. But, you know, don't go in there thinking that, you know, if I don't meet someone tonight, or if you feel, and the thing about it is it's a pretty superficial thing. So, I mean, you could be very bad for a woman's self-esteem to have 10 guys not even want to spend 7 minutes with you. So just don't take it personally. Do you know what I mean? Because
right.
A lot of my clients end up feeling really upset by these things. So, you know, and also be nice, too. I mean, sometimes people are really rude during these. You know, try to be nice. And, you know, if you see a guy and you say, oh, you know, I really wish it, you know, I could, you know, it would be someone like you, but I'm not really feeling it. But, wow, you're a great guy. I mean, say something nice, you know, like
right.
People don't have to say mean things. Like, okay, you're not the one. I'm going to the next one.
Well,
you know,
no, that's not me.
Right. So be nice, be loving. And let us know how the speed dating went and what your impression of it is. You can call in. We'd love to hear how you feel about it.
Okay.
So let us know what happens, and we're going to try to take another caller. But thanks so much, and we're so glad that, you know, the most thing is that you're healthy.
Thanks so much, and have
That's
a good night.
That's the best. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, Nicole, I loved the way you described it, you know, the speed dating. I thought you did a very good job of that.
Well, thank you. You know what it is, Cindy? It's you know, these things did not, like Match.com and a lot of the internet dating sites and even speed dating, these things did not really originate with, you know, ill intentions. These things really, really did, you know, start out as being a way for people to connect. And over time, it's unfortunately people that have contaminated these pools with, you know, dishonesty and you know, and other things. You know, I can't even get into some of the other things because some of them are just creepy, you know. But it's really us that kind of poisoned a very, very good tool that should have been used to help people connect and kind of spoil it for the bunch. It's why generally I don't like to refer people to online dating or anything like that. You know, and I could tell everybody out there from personal experience that I could tell you a good story about online dating and I could tell you horrible stories about online dating. I had the worst experience online dating. And I literally met my girlfriend now, and we've been together almost 5 years, you know, through a friend of a friend of a friend. You know, and ironically enough, she and I knew at the time all of the same people, had a lot of the same friends, yet we had never met. You know, so I didn't have to rely on online dating for that. And like I said, I had terrible experiences. Meanwhile, I look at my stepdad, okay, who has since divorced from my mother, obviously. But, you know, he went on Match.com and he met his wife and they've been happily married for years, you know. But part of the reason why it worked out so well for him is because he went into it with no expectation. He went into it just to have some fun, just to meet some people, just to make a connection. And he left it off as whatever happens, happens. He was not looking for a relationship. He was not looking for anything long term. He was just looking to make a connection. And luckily,
he
found a worthwhile connection. Exactly. You know, so if you go into it with that mindset, you know, you're more likely to get positive results than if you're like, oh my God, I need to find my soulmate and he's just not here or she's just not here. You know, it's you have to use these things wisely, and you have to be careful when you're using them because not everybody is honest. You know,
and that's the most important thing. Trust your gut. You know,
exactly.
Always trust your gut, and you know, if your gut tells you somebody's lying, you don't really need concrete proof. You know, just go with that gut, and you know, that's a hard thing to teach. I mean, we're so trusting. We're wondering if we're getting jaded. You know, especially if you're online dating, a lot of the people on there are, you know, catfishers and scam artists and commitment phobes and sex addicts. And so you might hit four in a row, and that doesn't mean you know, your psychic ability is off. It means you're just hitting four in a row. So
exactly.
Well, I know you haven't screened anybody else, so would you like to Oh, you do. You have Karen.
No,
right?
I do have somebody else.
Good.
Yeah, she's all the way at the bottom of the list. That's why we have so many people today. I didn't even see her. We are going to speak to Kara now. Cindy, Kara is a very, very special case. All right. She's recently relocated to North Carolina. She was married for 30 years, and her lovely, sensitive, compassionate husband told her in a voicemail that after 30 years of marriage, he wanted a divorce.
And when did he tell her this?
So, you know what? I don't know. I believe
okay.
in January.
I don't
said.
Know if this is okay. So this is a recent thing. It's not like something that happened 5 years ago. This is a recent thing.
Oh
okay.
yeah, no. I think back in January, you know, he kind of dropped this bomb on her, you know, and you know she's got you know a couple of other issues, you know as far as her state of mind and things like that, and all of her family is pretty much gone. All of her family is past Cindy. She feels you know very, very alone. Right now, she's looking to try to pick up the pieces here, and she kind of just wants to know if maybe her dad or if anybody
her
on
mom.
The other side can possibly help her out, or her mom. Oh, there you go, obviously.
Right.
Obviously,
because
her
mom and
her
dad are both
talking.
Here.
Okay, yes.
So
all
she's
right,
a good
so
girl,
we're
according
going
to
speak
them.
To, aw, well, we're going to speak to Kara in North Carolina, and hopefully we can bring her a little bit of peace today. Hello, Kara, you're on the air.
Thank you very much. Yeah,
okay.
I originally said my father because I have bipolar and he did too. And my friend who turned me on to you said maybe he can give you some advice about it because I didn't have it when he had it or I didn't know I had it. And my mother is a great idea because she always said, Kara, if you tell people your problems, there'll be someone who'll find an answer for you. So that's why I took
her. Oh, and your mom is a very sweet lady, by the way. I mean, you know what she said to me as soon as she came through? She went, thank you for hearing me. Thank you. And I was like overwhelmed because, you know, I've spoken to thousands of dead people, but I've never heard one go like this. Oh, my God, you hear me. It's like she's been wanting somebody to hear her.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So overwhelmed that it was, I've never heard anything of the magnitude of her, like, I can't believe that you heard me. And she is with your husband, and, you know, there were some red flags you should have been paying attention to with this man. You know, you're a good person. You had the blinders on. You want to see the good in everybody. You realize he has somebody else. You know about that. Because he's probably not told you. He's probably telling you he's just tired of all this.
Yeah, right.
It's not true. He is somebody else. And he's not going to tell you the whole truth and nothing but the truth because in case it doesn't work out with this person, he feels like he can walk back into your life if you don't know the real reason why he left.
Well, he should try better to work on a better settlement then, because he's giving me nothing, and I shared everything I had with him.
Well, that's
and that's killing me more than the girlfriend.
Right, and his mom has passed away, by the way.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Your husband's mom has passed away?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't think she was the world's nicest lady, because... because when you said that, she started screaming, and your mother just started laughing, and she goes, I guess you heard that, your mother said to me. You know what I mean? Because your mother-in-law, you know, thinks, I'll tell you what she said. I wasn't even going to clean it up. Bitch, you should be happy with what you got, not what you're going to get.
I didn't get anything.
Well, that's something that you're going to have to realize. Your husband wants his freedom, so he's going to have to pay for it a little bit. He's trying. He thinks you're the same woman you were when he met you, which means, you know, you're going to turn the other cheek. You're going to say, okay, you know, I'm happy with this. And it's all about money with him. It's about money. It's about money, and it's about money.
How did you know that?
Because he's
that's
a very,
so amazing.
He's a very greedy and selfish man. He thinks he's found somebody better. She's the princess that's going to become the beast, and wait till that blows up. So karma's a bitch in terms of this thing.
Yeah, good.
Your dad is saying, you know, first of all, you know, you have your bipolar, but you also have, you know, a lot of stuffed down anger. So sometimes that makes us behave in a way that, you know, sometimes we can't sleep, and sometimes we're up, and sometimes we're down, and you have a right to be mad at this man. Another woman would have divorced him probably 10 years ago or 20 years ago. He's not an easy man to live with.
No.
And some of your bipolar is, you know, in living with him, and, he, you know, he's a real narcissist, this guy. And does he want you to sell your home or something? Because it looks like a move here.
There is nothing left. He spent hundreds of thousands of dollars of the money that my parents gave us. Gave me, sole and separate. He convinced me, and he took half, and now he's sitting on a $500,000 house, and he won't share any of the proceeds with me at all. Nothing. And in California, state law says you don't have to.
Well, that's because
it's
you
an inheritance.
It's his inheritance from who?
From his parents. And if it's an inheritance, you don't have to share it.
Right, and that's why, you know, his mom is screaming it's not yours. That's what I'm trying to tell you. She's a bitch. I'm just telling you, she's screaming, you should be happy with what you've got. You know, she's screaming it's not your money. That's, you know, funny. She's screaming as loud as I've ever heard anybody scream. Now, realize he was waiting for that inheritance. You were his cash cow, helping him money-wise, and he knew you weren't stashing money away. And this man's been stashing away money since the day you were married. And it's funny because probably every dime he ever made is stashed, and every dime you ever made is spent. And know that this is a man who, you know, you're going to have to just realize you've got a battle ahead of you. He's not a nice person. But, you know, the narcissists always think they're screwing us over. They always think they're fucking us over. But in all honesty, this is not a man you want to spend your life with. And if you stayed with him much longer, you're going to get sick in other ways. You're just going to stuff down anger till you get cancer. I mean, at this point, go into court, just the facts, try to get what you can. You can't touch his inheritance. He didn't mix it with yours, and there's nothing you can do about it. And at this point, you know, it's one of those things, you thinking, I spent my life with you. Now we finally have a little money where we could, like, you know, travel and relax and the pressure's off.
Yeah.
And here he is saying, well, now I don't need you. So,
And I do need someone. I don't have anyone now. And I'm losing my vision from this bipolar medication, I think, because it says it causes blurry vision as a side effect. And my vision gets worse all the time.
And also, your vision is getting worse because you don't want to see evil and you don't want to see what a bastard he is. So we're not going blind over this piece of shit, okay? See who he is. See who he is. He's a manipulative man. He's a man who, you know, wanted your blinders on so you wouldn't be blindsided by him. And know that he's a liar. And you don't have to lose your vision. You may want to talk to your doctor about, you know, you're not able to see. That's a serious side effect. And, you know, maybe you can change your meds. You'd be surprised, you know, get over this situation, move forward. You might find your mood swings much better. I mean, right now, you're not acting like bipolar. You're acting like a person who's been screwed over. I mean, this is whether you were bipolar or not, you'd be angry. You'd be experiencing exactly what you're experiencing. Know that he has somebody else. He's a man who, notice he was spending time online, this man?
Well, he seems to be much more adept at, you know, doing what he has to do than he was when I knew him. So I guess that he's been spending time doing that. Yeah.
Right. He's been learning online. He's been learning how to, you know, schmooze over. He's, you know, feeling like you don't deserve anything. But do you people have any joint property together?
No. And my lawyer is just so tolerant of him. He thinks he's mediating all the time. He said to him, well, I can't get you any of that soul and separate back or that payable on death from your father because the law views it as community property. So he was allowed to spend that. And I say to him, so why didn't you tell me at the beginning? You knew that that's what family law in California was. Why did you have me go into this? I'm spending so much money, and now you tell me that none of this counts because it was viewed by the law as community property. Now, how could that be that a family lawyer wouldn't know that?
Well, just...
I don't understand. I think he's screwing me a little bit, too.
Yeah, well, that if you think he is, he is. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So this is something now that you need to do some of your homework, research what's, you know, the law and what's not the law. It's not a time to play victim because if we play victim, we don't win.
Yeah.
It's the facts, gather your facts. If you've been married 30 years, are you still working?
No, I never worked very much, and
okay,
I don't
work now
because I'm
so he will have to give you. He will have to give you spousal support for a while. So, and you know, depending upon how many years you've been married, So you know, go after your spousal support. I mean, he has $500,000. So whether it's his inheritance or not, he has to pay you spousal support. So the courts are going to be able to rule he's got the money. So
it's in the house. He'd have to sell the house.
Well, too bad. Isn't that just too bad?
Yeah.
So go after your spousal support, which is something.
Yeah.
That, you know, for every year you've been married, how many years, and because you're, how old are you now? If you don't mind me asking.
I'm 68, but the lawyer keeps on saying things like, well, he doesn't have much money. His pension is only $24,000, so you could only get $11,000.
But you have to prove to the courts that he has an inheritance, so he has the money. Rather, that's not marital property, but spousal support is marital property, and he's going to owe you spousal support. And where he gets it from is not your problem. And the courts will know that he has gotten this inheritance. And he can well afford to pay you. So it's, you know, he's just trying to scare you and trying to intimidate you. But just go in with the facts that you've been married, you haven't worked. You know, he's a person who's, you know, now walked out on a 68-year-old woman who's been married to 30 years.
Yeah.
And he's just trying to make you scared and intimidated that you're not entitled to anything.
Oh, he has. In fact, I don't even want to go to court. I'm afraid to go to court. I'm afraid to fly. Can that be done through mediation?
No, you have to overcome your fears. You're not a child. You got to get on that plane, and you got to fight. You're not a child. You're not 5 years old, and you have to overcome your fear, muster up some courage. That's why you stayed with him so long. You were afraid to leave. You have to go there and fight. And don't be afraid to go in court. Just address the facts. He knows you're afraid and you won't go to court, and that's how he's going to win. So, you know, muster up your courage and, you know, let anger fuel you, you know. And I'm talking about righteous anger. You have a right to be angry and address the facts and how he left you once he got his inheritance. But, you know, from that, he's going to have to give you spousal support. But he's thinking you're going to lay down and die. You're going to get so upset, you're just going to get sick and die. I mean, that's what he would love, because then he doesn't have to deal with you. Don't give these people that satisfaction. And again, there's no reason to be afraid to fly. I mean, it's, you know, we can die any which way. We can be in our house and lightning can strike or whatever. And, you know, how far away is it? Where are you living, in Carolina, North Carolina?
Yeah, I have to go back to California and catch Ebola on the way.
Well, that's a negative mindset. I mean, we're not getting out of this life alive. And, you know, the least thing, you know, everybody's afraid of everything. And, again, you know, the chance of you catching Ebola are pretty slight. The chance of you dying because you're out in the streets a lot greater.
Yeah. But, Cindy, you know what? You got to admit something, though. Kara, that was a little bit funny there. You haven't lost your sense of humor.
Right. She is funny.
You know, you might have lost a lot in this whole divorce, but you haven't lost your sense of humor, you know? And sometimes you've got to kind of laugh at some of these things. But you also have to remember, like Cindy said, that when people see somebody as prey, when people see somebody weaker, what they're going to try to do is they will try to remind them of how weak they are, okay? Because then they figure the weaker you are, the less likely you are to fight, okay?
Yeah.
So what you need to do is, just like I was talking in the beginning of the show about standing up for yourself, you need to stand up for yourself. I cannot express to you how important it is for you, whether this situation goes away tomorrow or whether it goes away in a year from now, for you to stand on your own two feet and find your inner strength. Okay, because bottom line, if your marriage was a happy one, if he was not happy, first of all, there's no excuse for cheating, whether he was happy, whether he wasn't, you know, it doesn't matter. Okay, there's no excuse for that, because you know what? You deserved the courtesy of him looking at you in the face and saying, I'm not happy, you know, and he didn't give that to you. And right now, it's up to you to stand up for yourself and say, you know what? I am not somebody that you can just toss aside. I have got value. I have got feelings. Okay, I dedicated 30 years of my life to this relationship, and now I want what's
new.
And just know that
find it less,
and have some
you will find
fun
it
with
difficult
it.
Difficult to intimidate you if you do that. Do not let him intimidate you. You find your strength in whatever form that is, and you stand up and you say, "No, I'm not going to take this."
Yeah.
And again, he knows that you are so fearful. So he holds all the cards, because he thinks that you're never going to, do anything about what he's doing. How about surprising him? How about surprising him with your strength?
Yeah.
How about surprising him with your appeal in court and the fact that you're not well, you're having trouble with your vision and everything else? Play the I'm sick card. And you know what I'm saying, and really, and how
I
this is making.
I do know what you're saying.
And I'm just saying,
that.
Let him look pitiful in court. Let him look
like a piece of shit.
That he is.
Yeah.
Like a piece of shit. Okay.
And
you let
and
everybody in that courtroom know. Wow, this guy has the audacity to leave his wife on a voicemail. She's sick. Okay, she doesn't really have a major support system. You know, she's uprooted her life to the other side of the country, and now he's trying to screw her out of the last bit that she has. You let him look like a piece of shit. You do whatever you can to paint that picture, because you know what? He doesn't deserve your kindness. He does not deserve your compassion. Okay, right now, you need to take care of you. You need to have compassion and sensitivity and strength for you to move past
it's
all
so
of
hard
this.
For me not to second guess myself, because even my shrinks want me to stay on my medicine because they think that, you know, I don't
and they
get a second
opinion,
because
they get
or get
money
a third
from
opinion.
They get kickbacks from it. So
the point being
you cannot, if you were depressed before your meds and now you're blind, I think you're gonna be really depressed. So you have to stop letting men boss you around and people boss you around who are in authority.
Yeah.
You're the authority of your body, and it's making you go blind, and you're going to tell the doctor, would you like a nice lawsuit? Because if I go blind, you're being
sued. There
are
other things you can take that will not harm your sight. Okay?
Right.
I'm not one for telling people not to take medication if a doctor feels that you genuinely need it. Okay, I'm one of these people that feels that you can move past certain things, and sometimes you need medicine for a little while, and then sometimes you can come off of that medicine. Other people are not that lucky, and sometimes that is a life choice that they have to make for their own sake, okay? And it takes a long time to decipher which is which. So I'm not going to tell you that you don't need medication right now. What I am going to tell you is that some of this is situation. And if you do not like the meds that you are on, you need to get a second or a third opinion. You do not take one opinion as fact. Because if you are losing your sight from this, then you know what? That's not going to make your life better. These medicines were designed to make your life better. Okay, so that you can function.
Do you know how hard it is
to
get a doctor?
Function.
A doctor on Medicare? It's next to impossible because nobody takes it. They ask for your birth date, and when you tell them, like, 1946, they tell you, oh, we're, our practice is closed because they don't get paid for Medicare very much at
all.
Well,
then you,
and they
then
don't
you lie about your age that you were born in 1986, and you get in there, oh, you heard it wrong. You heard it wrong. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the point is you have to not play, you know, don't play victim. Pick yourself up. Dust yourself off. Get your fighting spirit back. Call in and let us know what happens. Your mom definitely guided you here to us. And if you notice, we're the disciples who pray 1 minute, curse the next, because we get really angry when good people are being screwed over. You know, and we try to get you to go, yeah, I have a right to be mad. It isn't right what he's done, you know.
Yeah.
And it isn't right with what people are doing to you. So get empowered to, you know, love yourself the way you would love your own daughter, the way your mom loves you.
Yes, she did. Thank
and
you
so
much.
And she loves you so much. Well, good luck to everybody. We're at the end of our show. We're going to wish everybody a happy Halloween.
And a safe Halloween at that.
Oh, yes, of course. And we'll all speak next week. And thank you so much, Nicole, because the answers you gave were so brilliant, I couldn't even believe it. I'm like, that's why Nicole's on the show.
Well, thank you, Cindy. I had the best teacher in you. So have a safe Halloween, everybody. Good night.
Good night, everybody.